Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're diving into the latest developments from Energy Pathways, ticker EPP, a company poised at the forefront of the energy transition. They recently announced an update on their Marram gas project in the UK Irish Sea, where they hold 100% working interest. Originally anticipated in the first quarter, a license approval is now expected in the second quarter of 2024. Energy Pathways is making significant strides with their innovative all-electric zero-emission subsea production system and is currently engaging with infrastructure hosts. The company is not only advancing its Marram project towards a final investment decision for a low-cost subsea development, but also exploring the integration of untapped gas resources with wind energy and geostorage to create a comprehensive energy hub in the region. With backing from various stakeholders, including renewable energy generators and major engineering firms, Energy Pathways aligns closely with the NSTA's net zero goals and may benefit from government decarbonisation incentives. Additionally, as the M&A market for exploration and development assets heats up, Energy Pathways has strategically positioned itself to capitalise on these opportunities by targeting similar undeveloped assets and transitioning depleted fuels into gas storage. Joining us today are Ben Klube, CEO, and Mark Steeves, Chairman, to unpack these developments and their implications for the future of the energy in the UK Irish Sea. Welcome back, gents. How's life treating you both?
Yeah, good morning. Really good, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you.
Good to see you.
Absolutely. So, Ben, could you just walk us through this latest Marram project update, please?
Yeah, for sure. So we put out an RNS recently, and fundamentally there's an update on progress of our foundation gas project, the Marram gas project. And we've been making good headway through FEED, taking that project through to a FID final investment decision. And part of that journey has been mobilising an array of contractors to help us move through FEED. So we've got excellent drilling contractor, Zenith Energy, supporting us. We have a surf or subsea engineering houses, Cortez and Mermaid, are working with us. And part of what we've been doing is, even though this is already a very low emission gas project, we've been seeking to minimize the emissions of this gas project. And we've made great headway developing what we think is a fully electrified, 100% renewable powered gas project, which in the climate of moving gas projects through in the UK regulatory environment, this is what the UK government is looking for: innovative type development approaches like ours, which minimise emissions. And above that, what we put into our RNS release, which is we've been targeting other resources in the gas resources in this particular area we're working in, which we think is ideally suited for energy transition development. And we've received correspondence from the NSTA about those license requests that we've put in. And that guidance tells us that we're expecting to hear in the coming weeks, next quarter, about the progress and award of those licenses. So we're very excited about that feedback. We think we're really well positioned to be awarded those licenses due to the nature of our company being an energy transition company. And we're looking to hear back on those. And we've also put to the market a much clearer vision of how we're playing this energy transition landscape in the UK, where, as I said before, the UK RSC is ideally suited to play this out. But it's demonstrating the connection to the linking in the excess wind power generation of the region. It is utilizing the reservoirs that we have, which are excellent for energy storage. And so our plan is to essentially renew those gas fields that we're developing, including Marram, into energy storage assets and essentially extend the asset value life of these assets to beyond the initial production years and convert them into gas storage, which will last for a further 20-odd years. So significantly adding value to those assets. And why they are ideal is because of their location, because of the proximity to the renewable wind power, which, as we know in the UK, is increasingly struggling to get access to the market. So storage solutions are needed. And it's also proximity to the industrial centres of the UK, which are requiring cleaner energy supply. So we're right next to them. And we're also right next to developing CO2 storage reservoirs. So there's immense opportunity here to connect all of those dots to generate essentially decarbonized, low-cost and reliable energy for the UK market.
Ben, Mark, tell us a little about what's been happening at Marin. There, I see that there was an S on the same day as well to say that you paid a contractor half in shares, which obviously is a positive because they're obviously taking they want some upside in terms of this overall thing. So what's actually happening on the ground in Marin day on day as we speak?
So much of the project team and the services are industry experts, which are based in and around Aberdeen, Scotland area. We have good relationships with them, and we're bringing that expertise to the sort of the Marin project. And by involving that expertise, we're really bringing innovative solutions, engineering solutions to Marin. The traditional way of thinking is not the way we think our projects succeed going forward. So coming up with decarbonized solutions is what we're about here. And we've had great support from the various technical experts and engineering houses in the industry to make that happen. So we're very pleased with that progress. We've also been in dialogue with the regulator about our electrification and decarbonisation plans, which we believe they're very encouraged by and interested in. And furthermore, we've been in touch with in discussions with the host infrastructure owners who we are tying back into. We're in the process of determining what's the best tieback solution for our project, but we've also received technical reports with respect to those tieback options. And we're very encouraged by those, not identified any showstoppers for the project to proceed. And further technical studies are anticipated to move the project forward.
Okay, very good. So what do we expect to see over the coming months from Energy Pathways?
We're going to get increasingly better definition of the development plan as we work through FEED activities with our various contractors and stakeholders. We'll expect to see progress around infrastructure arrangements. We'll also be expecting further information on the financing for the development. We've had offers of debt financing. Those conversations are ongoing, and also gas sales and gas marketing type announcements that we're also working on. So, and a part of that mix is also in ensuring that we're delivering decarbonized energy solutions into the UK market.
So the market has received you guys, and obviously the market is bad, but you listed at 4p late last year. You're currently trading below 2p. What would you like to say to one, the shareholders, and two, to non-shareholders who think, maybe there's an opportunity going on here?
I can sort of, let's say, speculate about the market. I think the market is poor in a macro sense. I think there is some, let's say, negative sentiment with respect to oil and gas in the market, maybe due to, let's say, political announcements, recent pronouncements from Labour, which have indicated some more punitive type fiscal measures in the oil and gas space. But my message would be to shareholders and investors is that it's no coincidence we're doing what we're doing here. We are navigating this energy transition landscape in what we think is a fairly skilled way. And it's all about commercialization in the energy transition world and decarbonizing. So it is no, our approach to electrifying and powering our development with renewable energy is, we believe, an attractive feature, which helps navigate regulatory and fiscal headwinds. And I think provides us with more attractive fiscal options. And it also is attractive to companies and investors who are interested in delivering low emission energy supplies. And I don't think maybe a number of other pure oil and gas companies aren't able to deliver maybe the sort of decarbonization opportunities that our position can do.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the marketplace, well, evidently the market is in a bad shape, but investors need to look beyond the kind of two-dimensional view of of the industry. The industry is adapting, and Energy Pathways is a good example of a company which has the vision to work with industry partners to reinvigorate the market. Getting that message across needs people like you to ask the questions to deliver a kind of a different way of viewing things. The problem I think we face is that people don't look at the reality. The reality from the start with Energy Pathways and with its first asset is that gas is going to be required for a great deal of time in the energy mix in the UK. What the company's done over the last few months is really take on board the possibilities that there are, tie everything together, and to work with new technologies to get it. I mean, we're at the head of the leading the curve. You know, we're way ahead of the curve, and that's very exciting. But getting that message across is not easy.
Yeah, absolutely. But the elephant in the room with Energy Pathways is you have come to market and you need to progress, which obviously looks very positive that you are moving that forward, but then you're going to need a large amount of cash. How do you propose that that's going to be sorted out?
Clearly, energy in industry partners is a real opportunity, real possibility. You know, that lots of people are interested in our project. I don't think we're going to have, certainly not going to have any trouble with debt. The we need to be flexible with regard to the balance.
Yeah. Look, energy transition is all about partnerships, and so it's not a traditional oil and gas model from a funding point of view, and you make energy transition projects move forward through integrated partnerships. Now, that's part of our future here is developing those industry partnerships that Mark's referred to, but they're not confined to oil and gas players. They're much broader than that. And by positioning the company in a space which is energy transition and not being oil and gas, and we show the pathway to delivering decarbonized energy, that's an attractive proposition to companies who are in the broader energy space and see an opportunity like we do. So that's part of the sort of funding landscape going forward. As Mark's already said, that we've already had strong offers around the debt financing for Marram and other activities we're looking at. We've had interest from off-takers for low emission product, and they are also potential access to funding for us. So there are a plethora of opportunities. And let's not also forget that the energy space now in the UK and many countries has become essentially distorted with government subsidies flowing into certain energy supplies. And we've got, through our story, avenues to secure government-backed funding for what we're doing too. So we have an array of opportunities, but it's fundamental that we remain and are a solid energy transition company and not an oil and gas company.
Yeah. I was just going to actually ask you that on that a bit more on that, Ben. This feed or electrification design for Marram, does it potentially demonstrate alignment with the NSTA's net zero objectives for these new gas developments? And could it potentially qualify for financial incentives under that government decarbonisation scheme?
Yes, but in brief, yes. So the pure act of electrifying and utilizing renewable energy for our development tracks a different investment and land structure to a traditional development approach. And so that's a sort of direct opportunity in terms of developing the asset in a means of it being a energy storage asset that has potential to attract grants, and the offtake, if it's used in a way that is a decarbonized energy supply, that also has means of attracting government grants. So there are many, let's say, there are a number of avenues for us to prosecute, and getting our development design right is very important to attracting those, let's say, alternative sources of capital that exist in the energy transition space.
You know, we have one asset. Everybody knows that's going to make a great deal of money over a very short space of time. But we also have a bunch of licenses that we're looking to be awarded, which will quadruple what we're about in terms of the gas production. And we're evolving the plan to integrate those assets in the wider geographical and industrial base around the northwest of England.
Okay, very good. I mean, from my perspective, were looking at this, and if you could secure finance from somewhere else other than shareholders in terms of the situation going forward, your valuation is absolutely ridiculous as it stands at this moment in time. And the scenario is that if you have to, and that's why I said the elephant in the room, is, will the shareholders get completely wiped out? I don't mean completely wiped out, but get a lot of dilution to make this first project happen. Now, I know you guys are all shareholders, so how do you answer that to the people who are sitting there going, let's see what happens?
Well, we don't want that to happen, of course. You know, we want to put a structure together which benefits existing shareholders. And certainly, why would we not want to do that? But it's about structuring it project by project as it expands, I think.
So you see this on a project by project basis. Ultimately, Marim is going to be the first one to come forward, and then after that, maybe other projects. And I mean, I suppose that's a good question, Ben. You're sitting in Australia now. Why are you doing this? And why are you in just off my hometown in Liverpool doing gas in the UK? What leads you to this position?
The interest I have is in that particular region and the, call it the juxtaposition of undeveloped UK gas resources next to renewable wind energy, which is being increasingly curtailed and costing currently the UK £1 billion a year, set to multiply five times, next to the UK's major national grid curtailment boundary, and then next to the UK's leading hydrogen projects and carbon storage reservoirs. That creates, in my mind, a very clear opportunity to deliver UK-sourced energy security and low-cost supply and reliable supply to the UK market. I think it's a great opportunity. I think it's really exciting. And, you know, if you benchmark just domestic gas connected to CO2 storage, it's reliable, it's lower cost than wind energy, it's multiples lower cost than floating wind energy, and it creates revenues, it creates jobs, it creates energy security. What's there not to like?
Yeah, well, how did you come to be in this situation?
Yeah, so Kevin, I've worked this region previously in my career when I was CFO at BHP Petroleum and contributed to progressing the development of the Liverpool Bay oil and gas fields, which are just directly south of the Marram gas field, and took those through development and production. And so I like to think I have a reasonable knowledge of the area and the fact that there is a significant number of undeveloped gas resources in this basin, which I believe are overlooked. That's the starting point. I've also, in my latter part of my career, been very interested in the energy transition space and how to generate value for shareholders in doing that. And I fundamentally think that is a gas-led exercise. And if gas can be connected with low emission energy solutions, then that's an ideal place to be, in my opinion. So we set up, me and my fellow founders set up Energy Pathways with that ambition in mind. And we actually also set up another company in Australia with essentially exactly the same story, which is based on a very large gas resource in Queensland, connected to CCS reservoirs. And yet we sold that company. I'm pleased to report that that company has been a roaring success. Massive gas discovery has been confirmed in what we thought the potential was. And that's essentially going to be able to has a lot of 10 TCF of gas to backfill into the LNG terminals running out of Queensland. So that's a very exciting development. But it's all back on the energy transition space. We think this part of the UK has similar potential. We think there's circa 2 TCF of undeveloped gas resources in this RSC region. And it, as I said, it can all be connected into CO2 storage and connected to renewable wind power. And we think that's a great opportunity.
And I was reading an article, I think it's the NTSA, the chief executive, Stuart Payne. And he basically said that the oil and gas will be powering Britain for decades. And I know a lot of the environmentalists will obviously not want to hear that. But you know, it's there's still a large amount of the region that remains untapped, and whether we like it or not, we need to find this homegrown source, right?
Exactly. I mean, with this sort of LNG type strategy, and it doesn't serve any purpose to anybody in the UK, at least, and not even to the environment. It increases emissions, so yeah. Not achieving anything from an emissions perspective, and it's certainly not achieving anything for the UK consumer. It's creating higher energy bills, it's increasing energy security risk, and it's reducing jobs. So there's nothing good about it. So, you know, I think ultimately common sense will prevail. But the reality, as the reality kicks in, but the reality is increasingly kicking in that ultimately the renewable wind power is intermittent, and what fills the gaps here is gas. There's no other solution.
One would have thought that if the NSTA are sort of wanted to kickstart this sort of drilling race, they would be very sort of cooperative in terms of licensing and getting those. I know I saw that they'd awarded something like 27 licenses and they'd up that to potentially 88. So they are really pushing forward with these licensing rounds.
Yes, absolutely. They're pushing forward with them and to, let's say, make the UK government and regulator comfortable with doing that. Companies like ours need to demonstrate a decarbonisation solution for that gas. And that's what we have. That's what we can do. And so that makes, let's say, the from a social political perspective, that makes the award of these licences a sensible and attractive proposition for the UK government.
Okay, all sounds very, very good and very responsible for our UK energy supply. And let's hope the investors start to understand that this is exactly what we're trying to achieve. And good luck with all of the progress that hopefully we'll hear over the coming months.
All right, look, great to speak to you guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks very much, gents.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.